What's up, gamers? Welcome to the Level 99 Daily Show for Thursday, February 15th, 2018. Remember, this is your RPG podcast that releases every single weekday, and it's the show where I dive deep into the greatest genre in gaming. I'm your host, Philip. Let's get today's episode started. So today we are going to jump into my initial impressions of Monster Hunter World on the PS4. I played the game the past week for about 10 to 12 hours. So I've gotten a pretty good list of things that I like about the game and things that I don't like as much about the game. But we'll jump into that in a minute. First, let's run through some news that's come out since I recorded last on Tuesday, since it took yesterday off for Valentine's Day. So the first thing of news is that the Secret of Mana remake is now out. This is coming by way of rpgamer.com. It says Square Enix's remake of Secret of Mana is now available for PC, PlayStation 4, and the PlayStation Vita in North America and Europe. The game is available digitally on all three platforms, with limited physical copies available for the PS4 version. To mark the game's arrival, a launch trailer and screenshots were also released. Once again, that was on rpgamer.com. The critic reviews of this game, the scores are not fantastic, so I'm interested to sort of look at the user score and see how players are liking it. I'm not sure why it's scoring so low. This is a game that I'm semi-interested in, sort of passively, casually interested in. Since it is a Square Enix game, I do have a level of investment in it because I love Square Enix traditionally. I've not played any of the Mana games from the past, so this remake, like I said, they converted it into 3D, so I'm, like I said, interested, but kind of holding off on the moment. I wish that this had come to Switch, and I know that I'm not alone in that. I thought it was a little strange, and maybe when they started this remake, Switch wasn't really a thing. Maybe it eventually will come to the Switch. I did think it was interesting that this does come to Vita. There have been some games recently that have released on the Vita. So if you are a Vita owner, you've still got some stuff to play here and there, other than all the older titles that you guys know and love. So there you go. Secret of Mana remake is now out as of February 15th. Next piece of news also comes from RP Gamer, and it is also a game release. This actually from February 14th, and it is that Trails of Cold Steel 2 is now available on the PC. RP Gamer says the PC port of The Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel 2 is now available. For the release of this game, Exceed Games has put together a launch trailer for the title. The game can be found on Steam, GOG.com, and the Humble Store. Trails of Cold Steel 2 originally released on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation Vita in 2016 and served as a direct continuation of its predecessor. The Windows version of the game adds ultra-wide aspect ratios, a turbo mode to increase map and battle speeds, over 5,000 additional voiced lines, and the ability to import a save from the PC version of Trails of Cold Steel. For more information on the game, Michael Cunningham's review of the PlayStation Vita version can be read at the following link. And once again, that is on rpgamer.com, so you can go check that out and then read the review of the Vita version. So that's Trails of Cold Steel. The Trails of games, another series that I'm interested in. There are way too many to count, way too many to keep up with. That's why I haven't been able to get to all of the things that I want to. I did play a little bit of Trails in the Sky, the first episode of that. So I have a little bit of experience with the Trails series, but not much. And in fact, I actually did start the original Trails of Cold Steel on the Vita, back when I had my Vita. Boy, I miss it. I miss it. So Trails of Cold Steel 2, if you're on the PC, go grab that game. All right, the next piece of news is actually Monster Hunter news. If you're a Switch fan, there's a bit of this that's a little disappointing and a bit of this that is actually hopeful. Now, while playing Monster Hunter World, I did hear some people clamoring for this game to come out on the Switch. But I gotta tell you, while I'm playing it on PS4, I just really don't see a way that this comes to the Switch. That was what I was thinking while I was playing. Technically, it seems a little ambitious for what the Switch can do. And that's me being loving the Switch, but being just perfectly objective and honest. I just don't know if it could run the scale of World. Backing up what I was thinking, Kotaku published an article today, February 15th, saying, and I quote, "Monster Hunter World is a smash hit, but the game is currently only playable on the PS4 and Xbox One. Wouldn't it be great to play it on a system you could carry around, you know, like the Nintendo Switch? That, Capcom says, would not be easy. While Monster Hunter debuted on the PlayStation 2, the subsequent portable versions catapulted the series to great success. In a recent Toyo Keizai, I butchered that, I'm sorry, interview, Capcom president Haruhiro Sugimoto was asked about bringing Monster Hunter World to the Switch. We're aware of that request, Sugimoto told Toyo Keizai, adding that Capcom has already ported Nintendo 3DS game Monster Hunter XX to the Switch. He goes on to say, however, taking into account various conditions, bringing Monster Hunter World now for the release is difficult. The reason is that the Switch has different functions from other stationary consoles as well as different players. Each game console has its own characteristic, and it's necessary that we as game makers adapt to that when making a game, Sugimoto explained. This doesn't mean, the article says, this doesn't mean Capcom is ruling out another Monster Hunter for the Switch, even though Sugimoto didn't explicitly say Monster Hunter World. According to Sugimoto, from now on, we're looking at how we can support the Switch with our games, and that also includes Monster Hunter. And so, as I said, there seems to be a nugget of hope in here, and then a nugget of disappointment. The disappointment coming from, it does not look like Monster Hunter World will be coming to the Switch. Like I said, he kind of alluded to it in there. It just seems like the Switch, he called it different functions. I just don't know if it could run the game as it was meant to be played. That being said, he does go on to say that they're looking to support the Switch with games moving forward, also meaning the Monster Hunter series. So I could see a Monster Hunter game made exclusively for the Switch, or just the next Monster Hunter game being built for multiple consoles, but with the Switch in mind. So there is hope for Monster Hunter fans out there for getting something that you can carry around in your hands, which I think is important. I think it would be a great game. To me, the bigger the game, honestly, the better it is on Switch for me. Things like Skyrim, things like Breath of the Wild, things like Mario Odyssey, that was a big game. These bigger experiences work really well on the Switch because you can put the console in sleep mode, you're pausing the game, you're taking it with you, you're putting it in the backpack, you unpause it, and you're ready to go again. You drop it in the dock. You're playing it on the TV. You take it out of the dock, and with a seamless transition, you're playing it on the couch. And so, with these bigger experiences, you are a complete freedom because you can choose when you pick it up and when you put it down, and you don't have to worry. You're just jumping right back in the world. You don't have to worry about loading it up again. you're just there. So I think it works really well in the pocket and in the hands. And I would love to see a Monster Hunter game, maybe of the size and the scale of World, but built with the architecture of the Switch in mind. I would want it to be optimized. I would not want just a shoddy port job that barely worked. I would want it built with the Switch in mind. So I'm fine with World not coming over, but I would like to see some form of Monster Hunter game in the future. Next piece of news is that Golf Story is no longer on sale on the eShop. I believe on Tuesday, I actually talked about Golf Story a bit in the five games on the Switch under $20 that you should try. And at the time, it was on sale for $11.99, I believe, but now it is no longer so on the Switch eShop. So that's unfortunate, but now Battle Chef Brigade is on sale. This is according to SwitchRPG.com. So from SwitchRPG.com, I'm reading the description of Battle Chef Brigade. So if this sounds interesting to you, you should consider picking it up for $17.99. Once again, another game that actually was not in my list, but another game under $20 that might be worth a shot. It says, in the fantasy realm of Victusia, the members of the elite Battle Chef Brigade are revered for their ability to skillfully take down monsters and transform their kills into delicious cuisine. But getting in isn't easy. Chefs from across Victusia must vie for their spot in a high-stakes competition. Follow two contestants, Mina and Thrash, as their journeys through the tournament unfold. In order to become a brigadier, you'll need to hunt monsters with combo-based attacks and prepare your freshly caught ingredients in puzzle-based cooking challenges to serve up winning dishes to the judges, all while the round clock ticks down. That was a very interesting description of a game. It feels like it has elements of Monster Hunter in it, where you're going out and killing monsters, bringing back the spoils to craft something. It just happens to be a cooked dish and not necessarily a piece of armor or something. But I haven't touched this game. I would love to hear from someone who has. Are you into it? Should I pick it up? Tell me about it. Comment below, or once again, tweet at me at Vault RPG on Twitter. So Battle Chef Brigade on sale for $17.99. And now let's talk about the games that are actually coming out for the rest of the week, being Friday, tomorrow. I'm actually going to start doing this on Mondays, but I figure I will go ahead and give you the few that I will be releasing that I actually released today and will release tomorrow. So releasing today, February 15, Johnny Turbo's Arcade Gate of Doom. All of these games are coming to the Switch. I don't really have a database for the PlayStation or PC. And so if you know about a database like that, that makes it this easy, then you can tell me about it. But for now, I'm just going to be giving you Switch releases. So, Johnny Turbo's Arcade Gate of Doom, an action RPG coming today. Wanda Jar, Try Again or Walk Away, strategy RPG. I know nothing about that game. Comes today, the 15th. And then, Joe Deaver's Lone Wolf, a turn-based RPG, comes tomorrow, the 16th. And I'm not sure if the pre-order price is still available there, but I think it was like $13 for the pre-order. So if that's still available, consider picking that up. That was actually in my list in last episode. So if you didn't listen to that, you can get a little bit of information about that game. And if you want to know more, go to SwitchRPG.com and look up Joe Deaver's Lone Wolf. There's trailers and screenshots there. So consider picking that up tomorrow. All right. So that's actually going to do it for the news. And now before we jump into today's topic, I do want to say that, as some of you know, if you've been listening since episode one of this podcast, I've started a very primitive, very early stages, an infant at this point, game collection. Collecting is not something that I've really been into my whole life. my life hasn't been conducive to that, but now I'm just beginning. Got my first NES cartridge, original Final Fantasy, at the beginning of this podcast. And I'm actually looking for the next entry. As it turns out, I'm also looking for, I'm in the market for a Game Boy Advance because I like a number of those games and I finally want to own that console. In fact, I was in the Switch RPG Discord server earlier, and if you're not a part of that Discord, consider joining Switch RPG. Great group of people loving RPGs, talk about all kinds of stuff. And I asked earlier about the GBA because I know very little about the different versions of the GBA and got amazing responses. Incredible responses, some suggestions. So just really helpful people in there. And I was able to get a lot of information about what type of GBA I should be going after. Helped me a ton. And so I've got my eye on some on eBay for a really reasonable price. So I'm excited about the GBA and then unveiling my second game. The second game I'm collecting is the GBA version of the first Tales of game. So if I get that, it will come with the GBA. So I'm excited about that. Do I need to do that? Probably not, but I want to. So there. All right, so let's jump into today's topic, being Monster Hunter World and my initial impressions of that game. As I stated at the beginning of the episode, I've put around 10 to 12 hours into the game so far, and I'm really, really enjoying it. Like, a lot. I'm playing it on PS4, and I've played a good bit with a friend of mine, which I believe really ratchets up the fun. It really improves the experience. Don't get me wrong, I had a lot of fun playing by myself. The game does a great job of immersing you into the world, and this is my first Monster Hunter game. I'll be upfront about that. This is my first Monster Hunter game, so I'm not coming into the series with this vault of knowledge, but it does a pretty decent job of putting you in that universe that's already spanned a number of games and holding your hand just enough, but not too much, because there is a bit of a learning curve, and if you're not careful, the game will kick your butt. Monsters will kick your butt. And I've had some dicey experiences so far. For instance, I don't know if this is going to necessarily be spoilers for people, but just as a warning, if you haven't played Monster Hunter, and if you want to pick it up, maybe be careful listening. I mean, I'm not going to spoil a story, but I am going to talk a little bit about my experiences, so if you don't want that to be messed up, then be careful. But I think that talking about experiences actually makes me want to play the game more, so anyway, yeah, it will kick your butt if you're not careful. For instance, I get a mission to, and I'm really bad with the monster names, but to go after this iguana, lizard type creature, right? It actually eats other monsters. So I get a mission to go after that. But I've unlocked the map enough that a giant T-Rex looking animal has spawned and is living on the map. Your boy didn't realize that because these monsters run at a certain point, they start running away from you. You have to hunt them down again. These things will interact with each other. I saw it interact in a cutscene very early on in the game. Thought it was cool. It was a great shot. It's a great cinematic. Did not realize that they actually interact live as you're going, as you're hunting. So I'm hunting, and it was actually not the lizard. It was almost like an emu or ostrich bird type deal with long legs. Okay. That thing started running and ran straight into the lair of the T-Rex and just chilled. He just chilled. And the aggro area on the T-Rex is pretty large. So it chased after me more than once. I screamed my head off more than once. So I actually did not die. I still have not died, but it's been dicey at times. It has been dicey, but it is really cool how the world interacts with itself. The creatures within the world coexisting and fighting and getting into turf wars. I think that's really fascinating. That's a really good system. Once again, I know those are probably staples for the entire Monster Hunter franchise. But once again, I am brand new to this, so like I am wide-eyed and mystified. It's a great feeling. All right, so I'm going to kind of go down a list here of things that I'm into, things that I'm not so much into. As far as the character in your Palico, I think it's called, it's your cat, right? It's your pet. That progression system, I think, is really neat. I like how, and it does a pretty good job of placing you in the world and then showing you, okay, these are the things that you need to do in order to kind of progress your character. And your player character, the progression is really with loot and with armor. And I like that. I like sort of the thrill of, okay, I know I have to kill this thing to get this piece of loot to bring back to craft this armor. All right, now that I've done that, it unlocks sort of the next stage of the the next big armor set. I know that I gotta kill that thing, and I progress. And all the while that you're doing that, your Palico is actually leveling up. So I think that that's really cool. I love the progression. I love the, it's very addictive, right? I get that itch to get that next awesome looking piece of armor. I think you're supposed to kind of mix and match. There was a piece of that in the tutorial, but I'm a sucker for sets. It's hard for me to have a mismatched set of armor. So that's tough, but I do like that progression of, okay, I finished the set. Oh, but that set looks awesome too. I've got to go kill the next thing. So once again, it is a little addictive. So I'm into that. Kind of heavily related, the crafting and looting is some of my favorite thing in video games in general. Like when I play Skyrim, I mod in a lot of hunting and crafting mods because I find that really fun in games. I love being the hunter and skinning the animals to get the pelts to bring back to craft this certain kind of armor. And different pelts give you different stats and different pieces of leather, and you gotta tan the hide and perfect the hide. You know, so I love that aspect of games, and so I really like that system in Monster Hunter World, crafting and looting, and how that's sort of like the centralized thing that's the hook of the game. It's great. The monster models, I think, are brilliant. They're fantastic. Once again, that's probably a franchise staple, but I'm seeing these things for the first time. A lot of them are very impressive. A lot of them are very large. They do a great job of expressing scale in this game, and they do that through the models. And even the smaller creatures and animals and the first couple of things that you have to hunt, they're still impressive models. And they do a lot of good job with those animations of those creatures. And the actual hunting aspect, like with your character and how your character feels in the map around those creatures is really good. And sort of the animations surrounding the hunting, like you're swinging your weapons, the feel, how heavy it feels. It feels very weighted. There's a lot of gravity to your steps, to your weapon swings. The impact from sword to creature is just brutal. When you get smashed and blown back, it's brutal. So I mean, that kind of has to be there. If it were airy or if it were really light, it just wouldn't have the same impact. So I think that they did a fantastic job with the models and the animation and the actual act of hunting that is fantastic. Now, I say that to say that it seems like they put so much effort into that aspect of the game that honestly the running around town aspect of the game is a bit lacking. And specifically, I'm talking about the animations. The walking animations feel really awkward. The running animations feel really awkward. The running up and down stairs animations feel really, really strange and weird. They look really strange and weird. So that's something that caught my eye. I'm just not the biggest fan of that. And I love movement in games, and I love the way that things feel. And like I said, while you're hunting, while you're out in the field, it feels fantastic. While you're in town, not so much. There's also something about the lighting in general in this game. And I love paying attention to lighting and the way that lighting affects colors and the way that colors play. And there's something about it. I don't know if it's just everything is too contrasted or too saturated. I'm not sure what it is, but I was even messing with the settings on my TV to try to get the image and the picture just the way I wanted it, and I just couldn't quite get there. And it's hard to put my hand on it. Maybe the shadows are too dark and the lights are too light. It does seem like ultra contrast, and I just don't know if I'm a huge fan of that. If there's a way for me to adjust those settings, or maybe it's something to do with my monitor, please let me know. Maybe it's just personal preference. I don't know, but that is something that I can't quite settle on my feelings toward the actual look. I think the graphics are gorgeous, but I just don't know about the lighting. Something just feels a little off. The player character models, like the human models, as good to me, as good as the monster models are, I'm not a huge fan of the NPC and player character models. I don't know, the proportions feel off. I know everything's supposed to feel large and big, but I don't know. And it may have a lot to do with the actual, like I was saying, the walking and running animation in town and going upstairs, because that feels off. Then maybe the models just don't feel right to me. Maybe that's it. Maybe I'm just crazy. I don't know. But that's something. That's something. Also, why can I not jump? I love that you can dodge. I love that you can sprint. There's a lot of movement in this game that's great. I just feel like this is a game where you should be able to jump. And maybe there is a wonderful reason for why there's not jumping in the game. But why is there not jumping in the game? Why? Maybe, once again, maybe I'm weird, but there's a level of freedom in games that you get whenever you can jump. We can just be running along and then you jump. It's simple. But to me, it's important. It's important. I wish I had it. I can dodge. I can swing my big old sword. For me, it's a sword axe combo deal. Why can't I jump? Like I said earlier, playing multiplayer is just, it's incredible. And I've only played with one other person, one of my friends. And that aspect of the game is fantastic. Like I said, I am having a lot of fun playing by myself, but it was multiplied so much getting someone else in there, tracking the monsters down together, fighting the monsters together. I like that the game scales the more people you have. That way you can't just steamroll these things. So that's cool. And just having that other hunter there is really cool. And they do have a lot of features and systems in place to help people play together. I think that's really neat. They've got the SOS flare feature. So if you're playing by yourself and you need help or want help on a specific mission, you can send out an SOS flare. So then on the boards back in town, and the menus back in town, people can check the SOS board or tab, and they can see your flare there, and then they can jump into your mission and help you out. I think that's really cool. And then And then you can party up. Now, my friend and I tried to party up at the very beginning, like in the first few minutes. And just be prepared that if you are going to play with a buddy, you got to get to a certain point in the game before you can pair up. So that was something that kind of set us back a little bit. We were on a semi-tight schedule. We were trying to get as much playing time done together as we could. But that first like mission and a half, you gotta do solo and before you can get a party member in there. So just be aware of that. But once you do, it's amazing. And just the overall feel of the game, I think, is very good. I've talked about before with PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, I get that rush of adrenaline, hearts pumping, palms sweating, that type deal. And I love that about that game. This game sort of does the same thing when you get into the thrill of the hunt and you're chasing down the monster. And then, like I said, you run into this alcove and there's this gigantic T-Rex thing and he sees you and he's coming after you and you're just like, well, this is the end. Better jump in the bush or this is the end, you know? So there's that element, that thrill. The element of excitement and the blood rush, and it's fantastic. They do capture that. They capture the whole hunting theme very well, and they needed to since it's called Monster Hunter. So bravo there. So long story short, I'm enjoying the game. Those are my initial impressions, but I want to hear from you. How long have you logged? How many hours have you logged into the game? How are you enjoying it? Are you playing with other people or are you playing solo? And then what platform are you on? Please let me know. Comment below or tweet at me. I am at VaultRPG. If you've listened this far, thank you so much for your listening. Your support means a lot to me. And I hope that you come back next episode. And until next episode, go game your hearts out. I'll see you.